Sentire Media.
For those of you who follow my Instagram, you may have seen one of my posts where we clip little bits from my bootcamp that runs every year. And they're just little tiny cutouts, really, of conversations that I have through my bootcamp. And there was one in particular that really blew up. And what I was talking about was what it was like to be a foreigner in Italy. And how it can always feel like you're a little bit on the outside, and why this is can impact somebody's confidence. And actually the words that I used, what I said was this, exactly this. I said, you will always be a stranieri in Italy. Did you catch it? You will always be a stranieri in Italy. Now, stranieri is plural for straniero, which is a stranger or a foreigner in Italy. And when I used you will always be a singular, stranieri, plural, well, you would think I ran over 8 dogs and a baby. It blew up on Instagram, and the comments that came on about my little grammatical error were really quite obnoxious and argumentative, and it really, you know, things like this shouldn't really impact me anymore, but they do. And what was happening was there was this little infighting inside of Instagram. So we had the Italians correcting me and yelling at me and saying, you don't even speak Italian properly, and who do you think you are? And then the other people defending me saying, hey, she's just trying to, you know, she's practicing and trying, and so what if there's a little grammatical error? And then trying to explain the you in plural and English and blah. It went on and on and on. But my point of telling you this story is that at the end of it, it kind of ate away a little bit at my confidence. And although I do speak Italian, not perfectly by any stretch, and I probably admittedly should be a lot better than I am now, I still make grammatical errors because it is not my first language, just like anybody learning a second language would do. But what happens when you make mistakes and people attack you for those mistakes, it eats away at your confidence. And sometimes it can actually make you drop back even further in your learning or in your language journey. And I wanted to share that story with you because today we're talking about learning Italian language. And we're not going to be going over verbs and conjugations and all that stuff that, you know, you have to learn. But what I want to talk about today is what it's like to learn this language being a foreigner and the confidence problems that you can have. And, you know, when you start with understanding the comprehension and then getting into actually speaking, and how you can continue to move forward. And then most importantly, how do we make sure that learning the language is a good experience along the way and don't beat ourselves up for the problems or the mistakes that we're making along the way? And the trick is always just to keep on talking. So that's what we're going to do today in A New Life in Italy. We're just going to keep on talking. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. All right, so listen, what we're going to talk today about is speaking Italian, and we're going to take those little steps that we have to take that will get us from this beginner's Duolingo stage and phase, really, of our language journey into being able to have conversations with people, or at least not feel like a complete idiot every time that we go out, or panic every time the phone rings because you know that you're not going to know what they're going to be saying on the other line. And I know that my son said to me the other day, he's been speaking mostly English for quite a while right now. His language, his Italian language, was getting better, but he's been sort of diving into other English jobs and things, so doesn't get to practice very much. And he walked into the kitchen, he says, you know what, Mom? All I heard today was blah, 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 blah. And I totally understand, because somehow that's how you feel. And you think there's no possible way that there is a language, a true communicative language coming out of their mouths other than the sound, the beautiful sound of the Italian language. But I promise you that as you continue to practice and as you learn and as you try different methods, it does get a little bit easier, but it will always be a journey, I think. I don't think everybody is perfect at learning languages. Some people, like Marco, who is on our team here, speaks, I think, 6 or 7 languages. It's his nature to do that. But if you're not like Marco or others, then and it takes a little bit longer for you to learn, it's okay. And we're going to talk today about how you can do that, because also who's going to be joining me on this show today is Margherita Berti, and she is a native language Italian teacher. She actually lives in the States and she has a PhD in languages, and she's one of our instructors inside our New Life in Italy membership. And she really is amazing because she's super, super patient, and her style on how she teaches you to learn Italian is really quite different. And I think really, really effective, which is probably why she has over 1 million followers on her Instagram. And if you haven't followed her yet, you should. It's Italian Matters, and her name is Margherita Berti. Now, before I get to speaking with Margherita and our little interview, I want to talk to you a little bit more about my journey, Italian learning journey, that is, and give you a little bit of insight of what it's like to live here and immerse yourself in the language. And then I also want to talk to you about the importance of obviously learning Italian, but really more than just becoming perfect. Because I think what happens is as a foreigner learning a new language, you really become your own very worst enemies. And how we can focus on trying to be perfect and in the process just freak ourselves out all the time. And I can tell you that if you're not speaking a lot of Italian all the time, it's really, really hard to continue to grow in the language. But if you're surrounded by English-speaking people or you're language-speaking people, it's really hard to get the practice in. So there are kinds of tools that you can use or ways that you can expand your comprehension and your language absorption, I guess is the word. But we're going to get to that a little bit more with Margherita. What I want to talk about first, though, is really just the language itself. You know, Italian is considered one of the most beautiful sing-song kind of musical languages, and it's very easily recognized. And probably because we see it in the movies and those romantic shows and the Italian love stories, you know, we hear words like le dolce vita that make us, you know, transport us kind of into this new world or this lovely, dreamy Italian way. So I think most people think about learning Italian and think, oh, I just want to be able to sing my words like that and be able to communicate in that way. Or sometimes if you're here in Italy and you're listening to Italians talk, it can also sound like they're really angry at each other all the time, that they're always yelling because they're so passionate, and they're really not always yelling. But, you know, Italians do tend to over-talk each other. It's just their communication style. So sometimes when you're listening to them, trying to learn and trying to absorb and, you know, help apply that to your language journey, it can be super hard because they're going very fast and they're using slang. And depending on where you're living in Italy, this language can also, and this slang can also be quite different. So all of those things come into play when you're thinking about learning Italian. You know, it's this sort of dreamy romance language. It really has earned its rightful place in this sort of world of languages. But the thing about Italian language is that it isn't spoken really anywhere else. So when you come to Italy, you'll find that Italians speak Italian, and they might have their different dialect, but not a lot of them speak English. In fact, I think a study came out recently that said only something like 35% of Italians actually are fluent English speakers, which is, you know, okay. But we had the other day, a young kid was here, I don't know, he's in his 20s or something, and he was assembling something, and we always have something being assembled in this house. But he, I was talking to him about his English, because he was speaking English, you know, okay. But he was saying that when he was in school, the Italian language isn't taught really a lot in schools here, public schools here. I mean, they have an English course, of course. and they learn the basics, but there's nothing really advanced. And he said often the teachers themselves don't speak English very well, so that the actual lessons aren't really that great and that comprehensive. For Italians to learn how to speak English, they always will go outside of the public school system and learn on their own so that they can become fluent. And this is obviously a good thing because when you're, you know, Italian not being a widely spoken language in the world, it becomes even difficult for Italians to maneuver their travels. So when we're feeling really super sorry for ourselves not being able to understand everything here in Italy, imagine what it's like for the Italians that don't speak English. You know, as English, you can travel all over the world and kind of get by because there's somebody who speaks this common language, English, French, maybe Spanish. But as Italians, you are kind of stuck with your Italian language. And as a matter of fact, that's why a lot of Italians, when they travel, they go to resorts that are run and Italian-focused and Italian-based because they know they'll get that language inside that community wherever they are traveling to. So it's not that language and learning other languages, it's unheard of here, but the fact is that almost in all cases, you're going to have to speak Italian, even just to get by, to do some of the most basic, simple things other than, you know, just saying how to order a pizza or how do you ask for the bill in a restaurant. You know, when the phone rings, you have to be able to answer it. If you're in the hospital and there's an emergency and you pick up, you know, you're calling your insurance company and you have to listen to the prompts and know what number to press, you need to understand basic Italian in order to get by. And at the beginning, you won't. And you can do some studying back in your home country, and this is all great, and I highly recommend it. And then when you get here, it's usually a different story. And most people that I come in contact with really get almost like a kick when they come here and they think, oh, damn, I thought I was doing so well. I was sure I was like a level B or maybe even a C level. And it turns out they're way back in the A in the beginning stages. And, you know, I want to tell you this because you're not alone. And my, you know, I wrote an article a while back. It says, you just want to poke them in the eye. And those are the people that, you know, are so good at languages and that learn so quickly or boast that they became fluent in 3 months or 6 months after living in Italy. I want to give you permission right now. It is okay if you do not speak perfect Italian in the first year that you live here. In fact, in the second year, third year, fourth year, as long as it takes for you to learn Italian is as long as it takes for you to learn Italian. And like I said in my beginning story about all of those haters that made me feel really stupid and made me question, even if it was only temporarily, it made me question my ability as an Italian speaker. You know, not the greatest, but see, I'm still questioning it. You know, even for those people who are out there and they're constantly correcting you, or the days that you go out, you say, okay, today I'm only going to speak Italian. And then the waiter and the store shopkeeper continue to speak to you in English. And those days that you question if it's ever going to happen for you, if you are ever going to understand anything other than, you know, blah, 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 blah. I promise you, you will. But it's a journey. And just like the journey that you have to take from where you are now to here in Italy, there is a lot of work, a lot of planning, and a lot of preparation, and really a lot of support. So the best advice that I can give you about this need to speak Italian is that prepare yourself for not being able to get by at the beginning and to make sure that you put into place things that you can use to help you along the process. Sometimes that's a friend that speaks Italian. Sometimes it's your neighbor that you're befriending to help you get by. But, you know, give yourself a break. If you're not perfect, it's okay. And keep the time frame, how long or however long you think it's going to take you to learn Italian, just let that go. You don't need to be perfect. Your grammar does not have to be perfect, regardless of what people tell you. What you're striving for at the beginning is just to communicate. It's just to talk to people, just to answer the questions and not feel like a deer in headlights all the time. What you're going to be striving to do is make relationships and build relationships with Italians so that you're not just talking about food or simple things in your life. You're able to talk about your past, not just what's happening right now. Because when we learn Italian or another language, we usually start with the present tense. It's the easiest. But then we have to learn about how to speak in the past, and then we have to learn about how to speak in the future. And as you're starting to learn, you'll start to realize that, man, we do talk a lot about the past. So that's usually the next stage that you get to. I also want to just refer to the process. And again, the process is different for everyone. Often a combination, in my experience anyway, it's always been a combination of learning tools. I am a learner. I learn visually. So just by sitting and listening to somebody does nothing for me. I am off. My attention is gone in seconds, if that's the case. But if I see something or I write something down, this seems to be my retention model better. So what I do is I do a lot of combination things. I read, I try to read, I have audio on, just sort of in the background. I listen to Italian TV, not so much Italian radio, probably more than, I should probably do it more, but I find it kind of slang-like, so I don't always listen to the radio. But I also do little quizzes online. I have courses that I take, and I try to speak Italian as much as I possibly can with my Italian friends. The problem is a lot of my Italian friends also speak English, and they're trying to practice their English. So we do this little back and forth. They speak English, and I speak Italian. And my rule with my friends and the Italians that I'm speaking to is, do not correct me every mistake I make. If you get what I'm saying, perfect. If I ask you, hey, was that right? Or how do I say this? Come si dice? How do I say this? Then answer me. But don't jump in every single time I make a little grammatical error, because it really doesn't matter. Now, if I'm off saying something that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, you know, which can happen sometimes, even in English, I will say, then certainly jump in and say, hey, look, I don't get it. But those are usually my rules. And this is what I tell people when I'm speaking Italian to them, is I say, listen, you know what? This is a process for me. I can get by, and you and I'll probably have an okay conversation. However, if I'm making mistakes, please don't stop me right away, because what happens is I get in my head and then I start questioning everything that I say. And it's okay, because most of the time people actually respect and follow this. So it works for me. That's how I get by. Okay, so let's get to our special guest today, and that is Margherita Berti. So she is an Italian teacher, actually an incredible Italian language teacher, and she has over 10 years experience. She's actually the founder of italianmatters.com. And for some of you listening out here, I know there's got to be some of you who are or have taken one of her courses at Italian Matters, because she has a huge following, over a million people on Instagram, and for a really good reason. She is incredibly clear in her teaching style, and she seems to be able to apply this magic formula that helps you retain the concepts of the language, but also gives you the confidence in order to keep trying and keep moving on. She's actually Italian. She does live in the US now, and she was born and raised in Bergamo in the northern part of Italy. And as I said, she has a PhD in language, so she really has all of the credentials that we need in order to really understand how our minds work and how we process new language and language skills. So let's get right at it. Hi, Margherita. Thank you for coming and joining us in A New Life in Italy podcast. I am so excited to have you on the show and have a ton of questions for you.
Ciao, Samantha. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, where are you sitting right now? You know, I'm in Florence, and where are you now?
I'm actually in Indiana, in Bloomington. It's raining here. I don't know what's the weather like there.
Well, you know what? It's raining here, so you're not missing so much.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. Yeah, it's spring now. We're getting close to spring, and I'm waiting for the nice weather and being able just to be outside and enjoy, being outside.
Yeah. So are you the only Italian in your town?
I don't think so. So there is Indiana University here, which is a pretty big university, and we actually have an Italian department. It's a well-known department for Italian studies, so there are other Italians in town.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Yeah, because I think Indiana, it's not a place I think of where, you know, maybe a lot of Italian immigrants went to.
That's true.
Well, good. Well, I'm so glad you're here. So at the beginning of the show, I did talk, expose a little bit of my experiences with learning Italian, being obviously an English speaker. And I know that this is your thing because you have obviously Italian matters, but you are, you know, not just an experienced Italian instructor, but you have a PhD in languages, which is, I think, probably brings another level of expertise to it. So maybe tell the audience a little bit about who you are and why you teach Italian and a little more so we can understand who you are.
Yeah. So as we've said, my name is Margherita and I was born and raised in Bergamo, Italy. And it is in Bergamo where I got my bachelor's degree in modern languages. And after that, I moved to the US to get more advanced degrees. So I got my master's in linguistics and then my PhD at the University of Arizona in applied linguistics. And when I finished my PhD in 2021, at the end of 2021, I decided to start Italian Matters, so an online language and culture school that offers language programs to help people, specifically English speakers, become fluent in Italian. And my goal is really to have students that understand that learning a language, learning Italian for them is possible. It can happen for them. You just have to have the right strategies, materials, and methodologies that work for you and that will help you become fluent. Because what I've seen a lot is students and language learners that feel defeated after 1 week of learning Italian. And we don't want that. We want people to understand that it can happen for them too. They can become fluent. It's about having the right strategies and materials and support.
Right. And using, you know, I've always found that using a bunch of different kinds of really learning methods can help, you know, to really.
Yeah, we want to touch on all language skills when we are learning a language. So listening, speaking, reading and writing. And we want to make sure that we are immersed in the language. So especially if you live in a country where Italian is not spoken, where there are not many Italian speakers around you, then you want to immerse yourself in a way, for example, by turning your cell phone into Italian, you have Italian language there on your phone, by watching movies in the evening in Italian with subtitles in English, if that is your first language, if you're new to Italian, or by listening to podcasts as you are washing the dishes. So we want to make sure that we are immersed in the language, that we are getting that language input, and that we are working on all language skills.
Right. And, you know, everybody has, I think in anything that they do, they have their own way of learning and their own, you know, development stages. And I think one of the problems that a lot of people find that they face, especially if they're older, let's say, and they're trying to learn a language, it maybe isn't as easy as your brain gets a little mushy as your memory goes a bit when you get older. And I wonder that, you know, sometimes people feel like they read all these stories, say, oh, you know, I moved to Italy and within 3 months I was completely fluent. You know, what is really the truth behind that? I mean, how long does it really take an average person to be able to not just, you know, speak restaurant Italian, like be able to order a meal, but really be able to have a conversation?
Yeah, there are so many factors that go into that. And first, we have to define fluency. What does it mean to be fluent? And my definition might be different from yours. For me, from my studies, being fluent means that I am not translating from my first language to my second language, to Italian, if that was the case, as I'm speaking. So if I'm learning Italian and my first language is English, I feel fluent when I'm able to speak Italian without having to translate word by word in my brain. How long does it take to get to that point? And do you have to move to Italy to get there? The reality is that most people who learn foreign languages, that learn Italian, don't have the opportunity to move to that country where the language is spoken. And yet they're still able to become fluent, to speak the language. So you don't necessarily have to move to Italy to be fluent in Italian. But as we said earlier, you need to immerse yourself in the language. Of course, if you go to Italy, if you live there, your process is going to be much faster. You're going to reach fluency faster. That is true. But it is not impossible to become fluent if you stay where you are. Now, how long does it take? It depends. There are so many factors that go into it. And again, it depends on what you define as fluent. I think you can get very good results in 6 months, even when you are not living in Italy. I wouldn't say you would be completely fluent in 6 months, but if you stick to it and if you practice the language at least 4 or 5 times a week, you're going to get very good results.
Right. Oh, so that's a good, mark to hit, to think, okay, if I study 3, 4, 5 nights a week, and how long? Just an hour, a couple of hours, are you thinking to study?
I don't recommend studying for a couple of hours. I think you can get burnout very quickly, 2 hours, 4 or 5 times a week, probably under 1 hour, 45 minutes to 1 hour. If you really do it 4 or 5 times a week for 6 months, that is a lot of time to the language. Yes, you're spending a lot of time with Italian, you will see results.
Right. And then of course, if you're listening to Italian movies and you've got the podcasts on, that's all layering on top of your lessons.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about, yes, immersing yourself in the language and, yes, using a textbook or a course, but also getting that language input that you probably do not get if there are no Italian people around you.
Right. Well, people always that are thinking to move to Italy, sometimes people feel like they have to get to a certain level of language before they move. And I always, tell people, you definitely, if you move here, you absolutely have to learn the language, because there's not a lot of English spoken, especially outside of the cities here. So it is something that they really have to do, but they don't necessarily need to be fluent, even in your definition of fluent, before they move here. They just really should start the journey, though, ahead of time, so that they're at least a little ways forward and building a little bit of their confidence.
Right. Yes. I wouldn't, it would be difficult, I think, to go to another country with no knowledge at all of a language spoken there and being able to just learn the language by being around people. Because the reality is that as adults, we learn languages differently from children. Sometimes you hear learn Italian like babies, like children do. And that's not really possible in a sense, because where kids, children start from is different from adults. So as adults, we have a knowledge of a word that is different from, babies who start from zero, who do not spoken any other language. And so if you go to Italy and you just expect to throw yourself out there with no knowledge of Italian at all and being able to become fluent, that is going to be very difficult for you.
Can I ask you a little something about that? Because when you say that babies and children learn obviously different, I know, as I get older, I, can't remember why I went into the kitchen half of the time. But, when we're little, people come here sometimes with their kids too, and they worry about, they don't speak the language and they have to go to the school. But on top of that, I'm thinking that there's also some kind of a strategy as an adult when you're learning to read children's books or watch kids' cartoons. Is this actually a good strategy if you're an adult?
It is, because you are learning basic language. So it is not more advanced as it would be in a movie for adults. So if you're watching a cartoon, if you're reading a children's book, then it is a language that is more basic, more simplified for you. So it is a good strategy to use those materials. But as adults, the good thing is that you already know your first language and you can already produce a sentence in Italian from day one of studying. You can say, "Mi chiamo Margherita," already from day one, and you can translate that in your first language. Children, babies, they take a while to put words together and to form sentences that are correct. It doesn't happen within a few months. It happens in a few years. Right. It's not immediate. So in a way, adults have this advantage of knowing their first language, of being able to read something and produce that out loud, saying that Italian sentence out loud. And yes, but using children's books and cartoons can be helpful because that language there is simplified, so it is easier to understand.
Okay. So at the very beginning, you had said, people when they start, sometimes after the first week or so, they feel defeated. And do they just stop? Or what is the biggest roadblock that you find people face?
Yeah, it is probably the grammar from what I've seen. Especially if you have not studied grammar concepts growing up in school, and maybe you don't have an understanding of what it means to conjugate a verb or to find the subject, the direct object in a sentence, that can be challenging. It can be defeating for adults because maybe we don't understand that we need to conjugate a verb in Italian and change the ending so that it agrees with the subject, and it feels like a lot of work, and it is. What we need to do is really to make sure that we are constant with our studies, that we do study 4 or 5 times a week, and that we are not expecting immediate results. So I would never tell someone that after a month you can have full-blown conversations in Italian. That doesn't happen, and we have to set realistic expectations for what we can get with the time that we have, and understand that we are there for the long term. So we are learning Italian to speak the language in the long term. So it's going to take time, but we know that if we stick to it, we're going to get the results. And also accept that mistakes, errors are going to happen.
Yeah. And I love that because, the confidence, keeping your confidence when you're trying anything new, anything that's brand new, and you're maybe beside somebody who's very good at it, maybe they're speaking Italian because they're Italian and you're trying to speak their language, there's many times that you will feel really kind of stupid or frozen or for other reasons intimidated. So your mind's not thinking clearly as you're learning the language. So can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe give the listeners some tips on how to just push through those scary parts and just keep confidence to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it can hurt your ego a little bit, right? It did for me when I was learning and speaking English, and I would make mistakes, or maybe I would not be understood, and it did hurt a little bit. Okay, I'm not being understood. What is happening here? Maybe I studied English for so many years, and people don't understand me. So it is a normal feeling. We have to understand that it is going to happen. Yes, one tip is that people really do not focus on your mistakes. So what I've seen myself as an English speaker and what I've seen with my students learning and speaking Italian is that when they communicate with other people, native Italian speakers, it's not that these speakers are focusing on their errors and they're looking for that mistakes that you might make. That is not what they do. It is not that tomorrow they're going to hang out with their friends and remember the mistake that you made yesterday speaking Italian. People have their own lives going on. And if we think about it that way, that our person that we're speaking with is not focusing on our mistakes, and instead we choose to focus on the message that we want to get across, on what we want to say, that can help. Yeah. And another tip is that in some cases, if you are going to Italy, for example, on vacation, and you want to order at a restaurant, you probably will not see that waiter or waitress ever again. So if you do make a mistake, that is fine. That person, you will not see them ever again. They're not going to remember you and that mistake. That can also help us just being okay with using the language. Yeah.
Almost giving yourself permission to try, right? And fail once in a while. I mean, or maybe a lot at the beginning. So just not beat yourself up too much about it. And I always say to people, try not to compare yourself with other people's journey.
Yeah, that is very good. And I also see that a lot. Sometimes we see language learners who are more advanced, or maybe it takes less for them to really become fluent, and we wonder why that didn't happen to us. But the reality is that any person who is an advanced Italian speaker was once a beginner Italian learner. Everybody had to go through that beginning stage.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Really good point. So we're all the same at the end of the day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Well, you know, you gave me a lot to think about too, because, you know, my Italian's not bad actually, but it's, you know, not perfect. And I don't think it will ever be perfect because I'm not Italian, but, and it's a journey all the time. It's a journey learning new words and new situations. And, you know, I'm always looking for tips, and I know that you do amazing, amazing work. I'm always telling people about the work that you do, and you know, you teach our members inside of our membership as well. So I don't want to leave today until people hear more about what you have. And I know that you have a new course coming up about, I think it's called the Italian Travel Experience. Do you want to maybe explain that a little bit?
Yes, our course, Italian Travel Experience, is opening for enrollment this May. We only open enrollment about twice a year for this course. And the goal of this course is really to get you speaking quickly. So we focus on the specific phrases that you need in a variety of contexts in Italy, for example, at the restaurant, at the hotel, at the station, airport. And then we also provide lots of tips and strategies that you need to navigate Italy when you are there, when you're there on vacation. And it is a good course to get started with the language if you're not ready just yet to focus on the grammar and
right.
Yeah.
So more conversational.
Exactly. Yes.
And is it, how long is the course?
Yeah. So this course is a self-paced course. So when you enroll, you can get started right away with the content. We also do provide support, because when you're learning a language, questions will come up. So you do have access to support to ask your questions, but you can take your own time to go through the course. It is self-paced.
So if anybody has a vacation planned soon, or maybe you've been coming here a few times and you just need to polish up, you know, you need to know how to order that bottle of wine.
Yeah, I recommend taking the course and just preparing myself to speak Italian in Italy and enjoy their vacation.
Excellent. Okay, so where can they see it and how can they enroll?
Yes, so we are going to start enrollment at the end of April. So we're going to be talking more about this on our Instagram account, Italian Matters, and Facebook as well. So stay tuned for the enrollment period starting at the end of April, and then we start the course in May.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, Margherita, always a pleasure to chat with you. And thank you for your expertise and your time today. It's been amazing.
Thank you for having me, Samantha. It was a lot of fun.
Well, so all in all, Italian is really one of the most beautiful languages in the world. And while learning it can feel like a real challenge sometimes, it's okay to take it slowly and steadily. And as we say in Italian, piano, piano, slowly, slowly. And trust me when I say that Italians are more than happy to help you learn their beautiful language. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked three listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Good evening. I am a dual citizen, United States and Italy, and I am debating about making my residency in Italy. However, I had a question. I am currently receiving Social Security disability for a health issue. In the United States, it is not taxable. Do you know if it is taxable in Italy? I have been asking a few commercialistas and also some tax people, and no one knows the answer. I was wondering if you could help me.
Well, yes, it's actually a very good question. And I just recently had a client who is moving to Italy in very similar situations. So I'm going to start with, first of all, just giving you a little tip about a commercialista in Italy. So for those of you who've never heard this word before, a commercialista is like a tax accountant in Italy. They're a little different in that they often are the ones who will help you start a business and are kind of your advisors for your personal income and your life really here in Italy. So a commercialista is the one that you would go to ask this question, which I did. We have several commercialista that we work with. And for our past client, I know this answer exactly for you. The good news is that no, your disability will not be taxed in Italy, even after the fact that you are an Italian dual citizen. And the reason I'm saying this for others listening out there, in Italy, if you move to Italy and you are not an Italian dual citizen and you're getting a government pension, a foreign government pension, that pension is not taxed in Italy. However, if you are an Italian dual citizen and you're collecting a foreign pension, unfortunately, that foreign pension will be taxed in Italy. So the question is always, well, what if my government income is actually in the form of disability and I'm Italian? Do the same rules apply? Well, they don't, luckily. So it's actually in Article 6, DPR 917/86. I'm just sounding very official there, but that comes from our senior commercialista. And he clarifies that it is a different situation if it's disability. So the good news is, even if you're an Italian dual citizen, no, your disability, your foreign disability checks are tax-free in Italy.
Hi, Samantha. My question is about the renewal process after year one with an ERV. Is it equally as complex or is it pretty straightforward? And do you have any tips or advice for having everything in order for that? Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, I love the question. Is it simple? Or is it complex? And we're talking about Italy, so it's always complex. I don't know what it is, why they make everything so challenging here, but it's just a test of your patience. So you're here arriving, or you have arrived, Jonathan, on an elective residency visa. So that permesso di soggiorno, which is your permit to stay once you arrive, is valid for 1 year. And then you have to renew it every year after that until you get to that lucky 5-year mark, at which time you could apply for an EU long-term permit, which is good for 10 years. But in the beginning, when it's just 1 year, after the first year, you have to go through the renewal process. And you have to actually apply for that renewal 60 days in advance of the expiry of that permesso, of your initial permesso di soggiorno, permit to stay. And you will apply again, you'll renew at the post office the same way that you did when you applied originally. And the process is similar to the first time that you applied. However, the documentation that you will be giving is a little bit reduced. You should always keep the same documentation that you had for your elective residency visa. Always keep these in a folder just tucked away in your drawer so that you can use them whenever you need them. You'll take all the original documents that you had when you applied the first time, including your registered lease or your property deed wherever you are living, because you need to have a place to live. You can't be in a hotel or an Airbnb, even if in the year that you've been here, you've made that move, you're still going to have to make sure you have a place to live. And then all of your financial documents, your past permesso di soggiorno, your passport, and all of the other documents that are on the list from the post office kit, the permesso di soggiorno kit. So is it easier? Maybe kind of. It can be if you're in the same region. As long as you haven't moved to another region, that can add an added layer of complication. Just make sure you pay attention to the timelines and make sure that you keep all of those documents up to date and organize so that you can make your appointment pretty smooth. Hope that helps.
Hello, Sam. My question is in regards to the 7% tax incentive. I will be granted Italian citizenship soon and will start collecting Social Security in 2025. Will I be eligible for the 7% incentive if I am an Italian citizen? Or is it only for pensioners who are not citizens? Thank you, Sam.
Okay, another really good question and another tax question. I am not a commercialista, but obviously I work with a lot of people who plan to retire to Italy, and a lot of them are looking at this 7% tax benefit. So I'm going to give you a little quick overview for those of you who don't know what that is. In Italy, there's different special tax regimes that you can take advantage of if you're a new resident, and the 7% one is one that often retirees look at taking advantage of, because one of the requirements is that you must be collecting a foreign pension. So you have to be drawing from your 401k or your foreign pension, or be collecting it that's been coming in already from a private pension somewhere. But you have to have this foreign pension to get a flat tax of 7% on all your foreign income. Plus the other benefit of the 7% is there's no wealth tax on your foreign assets and investments, which is usually the thing that moves the needle and helps people decide on moving to a 7% qualifying town. And just as an overview, what that is any town in a region in the south, so anywhere from Abruzzo to Puglia to Campania and Sicily, Sardinia, Calabria, Molise, Basilicata, all of these places in the south, and a town in those regions that are under 20,000 people, 20,000 inhabitants. That plus you're collecting a foreign pension qualifies you for the 7% flat tax if you're a new resident to Italy. So your question was, do you qualify even if you're an Italian dual citizen? Yes, absolutely. So it's not about your nationality. It's actually about your source of income. And it has to have a foreign sourced pension collected while you're in Italy. So yes, you do qualify. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. and we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.